When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan. Sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We'll continue with your calls, but time to hit you with the crown topic of the day. Start of the show, BT. Football mode today as we get the first preseason game of the year tonight, the Hall of Fame game. Who is it? The Browns and Texans? I forget. But anyway, football is here, and coming off of watching the Hard Knocks as that has wrapped up with the Giants, I'm rooting hard for the Giants this year. I'm rooting hard for both local teams, as I usually do, but especially this year. I want to see the Jets have their fun with Rodgers and company, get to the postseason. But I love Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. I love getting a behind-the-scenes look on Hard Knocks at how they operate. I just don't believe in the way that they're trying to build this team here. And maybe it's me getting, you know, ahead of things and trying to hold them to a highest standard of winning the Super Bowl, and it's not realistic. And with the cards that they were dealt, with what they had before, it's okay to go at it with Daniel Jones again. But I just don't believe. And I said the same thing many years ago with Odell Beckham Jr. If you go back and look at that draft, I didn't want Odell Beckham Jr. I wanted Zach Martin, Aaron Donald. Those two guys, to me, inside out, building in the trenches, would have been more impactful than the star wide receiver. So this is not a knock on Malik Nabers. He could be a stud. I have no idea. But I just don't believe in building that way when I know the Giants have a major need, specifically a quarterback.
I think I would generally agree with you because I think it's a bit of an unconventional way to do it. But listen, this isn't college where, you know, scheme and discipline and coaching can elevate, you know, an average team or an average roster to heights that they probably don't belong at. In the NFL, you need horses. In the NBA, you need two stars to win. You know, you don't have it. You're not going to win. That's it. That's all there is to it. You know, show me a great coach at the professional ranks, and I'm going to show you a guy who's got multiple elite players and difference makers. And the problem is, for the New York Giants, too many years, this you know, greater part of the last decade plus, roughly, is that they just haven't had many matchup advantages in their favor. So I get it. I do hear you, Sal. I know what you mean. I don't think it's irresponsible at all, because to me, the components of building a team, they've already got a few of them. Like, they've got a left tackle. Thomas is a star. Mm-hmm. They've got multi. I want to see a little more from Thibodeau this year. Right. From
It should be easier for him now.
Yeah.
The addition of Burns, another year with Lawrence, a new defensive coordinator. And he did talk about dropping him in coverage. Anyway, yes, he's got to take another step to be a legit star in the league.
But the left tackle's short up. The pass rush is very good. And, you know, quarterback is what it is. The big money, year six, whatever. Not a star, not a scrub, somewhere in between. And they just needed somebody outside who can just go out there and, you know, I mean, when was the last time, I'm missing something obvious, but like consistently, when was the last time you saw a Jet or a Giant like consistently haul in 9 catches for a buck 80? I don't know. You watch the red zone and you gamble and you do fantasy. I see it 5-6 times a week around the NFL. Justin Jefferson doing this, Jamar Chase doing that, Waddle doing this, Tyreek Hill doing that, Stephon Diggs doing that. The Giants finally have a guy who I think is going to be there like some of those other players, so I love it. Unconventional, yeah, but I think it's okay.
But don't you think we've gotten caught up in the fantasy world then, chasing those type of guys?
But I don't think that's why they did it. I do. It's actually an outstanding point. I do think we can become too wrapped up in that mindset, especially as fans. Nobody wants, listen, say you have the 5th overall pick, right, on NFL draft night. Nobody gets juiced up for the left tackle,
who might
get you Super Bowl. Right. You want the tight, you want the quarterback, you want the pass rusher who's going to have 17 sacks. You want the guy who's going to have 12 touchdowns from the receiver.
Right.
Or like the tight end going 12th overall is going to become a Kittle or one of those guys.
That's the majority of fans, by the way.
I agree. But that's why we're fans.
I understand. Yeah, exactly.
That's why we're not making these decisions.
So it's not a knock on Nabers. And I know the Giants needed a playmaker, but was it the right way? And ultimately, people said, okay, well, they rebuilt their offensive line. Sure, we're going to find out. Maybe they did. But ultimately, I do think then it just comes down to Daniel Jones, which is why their expected win total is low. And that doesn't mean anything, but that's why. It's because of Daniel Jones. And that's why I guess I have an issue, because if they have the quarterback And they made all the other moves. You know, Thomas coming back healthy, the additions that they made on the offensive line, adding a legitimate weapon in Neighbors. Their defense should be good. At the very least, it should be middle of the league, if not better than that. So what's the issue? The issue then is Daniel Jones. So are we to just sit back and say, well, I mean, let's evaluate Daniel Jones again in year six and hope for the best? I mean, I'm not sure what to believe anymore, but I would have been more excited about the Giants going into the season had they had a new franchise quarterback. Results are going to vary,
Yeah. Succeed
or fail, but that would have been, to me, the excitement with this Giants team this particular year.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if they would have pulled the trigger on Drake May, you know, maybe they win three, maybe they go 3-14 if he takes all the snaps right. And he takes his lumps, but, you know, maybe in a couple of years down the road, he's a polished diamond that he's a Super Bowl champion, maybe, or maybe he's horrendous. And, you know, we're sitting here in the studio, God willing, in a couple of years, and we're saying, who are the Giants going to draft now?
Right.
You know, who's coming in to replace Shannon Dable? They swung and missed. They gave up this, that, and the other thing for a guy who's not good.
But what's the alternative then? Okay, so they don't go for the swing and miss, and they be conservative. Neighbors could be a stud, and there's going to be a bunch of Neighbors jerseys, and everybody's going to go nuts and score a lot of touchdowns. But are they going to be good?
Well, I think the alternative is you secure somebody that you believe with all of your football conviction is going to be a star, rather than give up too much for a guy that you think is going to be good.
Right, and he could be a problem. As Dable said, one of the best things that I saw from Hard Knocks, he said he was talking to Saban about
it.
Yes,
that was good.
Neighbors is a problem.
Yes,
okay,
he did.
Fine, so then he should be a problem, and then the Giants offense should be better, and they should score some points. But aren't we then minimizing the impact or overlooking the impact of the quarterback in this scenario? Like, it's pretty important to have a good quarterback to take advantage of a matchup nightmare like Malik Neighbors. It's not just your all at the wide receiver is going to get the job done. Mm-hmm. You have to have somebody competent making the right decisions and making the right throws. And ultimately, Daniel Jones has not proven that. Whether we think he will be that, can't be that, whatever, he has not proven that at the NFL level. I can't get past that. Just like with the Jets, like I can't get past that I don't believe in Robert Saleh. I can't get past it with Jones. Doesn't mean he can't do it, but then that's what this year's about. It's all about the quarterback. It's all about Daniel Jones, and that's why I have an issue or a little bit of a ceiling, I guess, that I'm going to put on what the Giants can do, because ultimately, I don't believe that Daniel Jones can, A, remain healthy for an entire year, and then, B, produce at a high level the entire year the way that they need them to take the next step, instead of doing it with smoke and mirrors like they did a couple years ago, getting to the postseason and winning that game against the Vikings.
You think he's on the team next year, Daniel Jones, 2025?
I don't know. You asked that before, and I think it's a fair question. I don't know what to believe. If you would have asked me that 2 years ago, I'd say no.
Mm-hmm.
But What if they're mediocre again, like they were in the playoff year a couple years ago? What if they're mediocre? What, you're going to just jettison Daniel Jones? And for who? What are going to be the options out there? You're going to go make a major trade for somebody? You're going to take on a big free agent? Like, quarterbacks are hard to find. So if you're not drafting one with that risk at the top of the draft or in the first round, then, you know, like, I can't rip them for not taking McCarthy. Because clearly they had a need, but they didn't like J.J. McCarthy.
I don't think he's looking good in camp either.
Yeah, all right, that's
fine. Early, whatever.
But whatever. Okay, you do, now maybe they missed on Penix, and maybe Penix could be a star. I don't know, but they clearly didn't like those players.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect not forcing an issue just because it's a position of need.
Yep.
However, the quarterback is the most valuable position, and you clearly, at least in my mind, don't have one. So, like, what are you going to do to get one? So to answer your question, let's say I say no. I don't think he's going to be the quarterback. Well, mm-hmm. Who is? Oh, you think the Giants are going to be bad enough to where they're going to be picking atop the draft to get a top quarterback next year?
I mean, is Daniel Jones going to play 17 games? He never does.
All right, but so, if you don't, but with Neighbors and a better
I'm certainly not wishing in. I mean, I really like Dan. I think he's a good young man. I think he's a decent player, but he never played a full season, so if he goes down again, they might be in the top 10 again.
But with Neighbors, a better offensive line, Burns, the Giants should be better.
But they should be.
They should be winning 7-8 games minimum, mm-hmm. or 6, let's say.
No, they could lose a lot of one-score games competitive, whatever. And optically it feels different than it did a year ago, but they still don't win a lot of games.
But they're not going to be a top 3 picking team.
No, I agree with that.
Okay, so then they're going to be in the same spot again next year, right? Conceivably, let's say the Giants are in the same spot. Let's say they win 7 games this season. Seven games again. Same spot next year.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your quarterback?
Well, I mean, I don't know the draft board next year, and I also don't know what teams might finish, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Right.
Have they already addressed their quarterback needs? There's so many, mm-hmm. like, it's such a murky wilderness. I'm not even going to fathom a guess. I have no idea.
Now, they should know. Obviously, they'll have a better idea, but things change.
Yeah, they know, of course. They're starting to look ahead.
But they change month to month, let alone season to season.
Yeah, but not radically in their minds. Like, do I think that the Giants already have a loose grip or a loose feel or interpretation for the 2025 quarterback draft class? I do. That's what the good franchises do.
Right.
Yeah. So
you
I think
you just don't know where you're going to end up.
No, no, they don't. There's too many variables for sure. And you're not playing. You know, that's thinking like a loser. Like, oh, all right, so when we're back here at five next year or six, we'll take this kid. No, nobody wants to embrace that mentality. But I guarantee the Giants have done their homework. And you play this out so many years down the road with who might be free from other teams, whether it's a free agent, kids coming out of college. I don't know. I just all I know is I'm tired of watching bad play. Yeah. That's really all I know.
We could all get on the, right. We could all get on the same page with that. You want to see better football here in New York. We just haven't seen it to any degree. Like the Giants a couple years ago was the best that we've seen in quite some time.
And it was fun.
Right, yeah,
it was
but
a
even
fun year.
Even that was
I know.
You know, it turned out to be a fun year. Look, anytime you get to the playoffs, anytime you win a playoff game, but even that they didn't really pick it up until the last couple of games of the season where it's all good. But, yeah, I mean, I just want to see good football. And, again, we're seeing 6 years in sports. That's a long time.
Yeah.
Is it not?
It's a long time.
For a player who you don't know about? Like, think about that.
Yeah.
Zach Wilson didn't get 6 years, thankfully, but he didn't get six years.
He never showed nearly as much as Daniel Jones showed, though. Like, Daniel, like...
Yeah, but
and
when?
I was one of these guys. Well, I mean, I was supporting Zach like a fool, you know.
I'm just saying,
I can admit, like, it wasn't even close. Like, Daniel Jones has put on tape versus what Zach Wilson's put on tape, it's not even comparable.
Yeah.
Zach looked awful outside of, you know, seven or eight highlight throws, and Daniel Jones looked functional more than on many occasions.
Yeah.
He did.
Functional. I bet you Zach would have looked more functional if he had a better, offensive coordinator, head coach.
Okay, it's funny you say he might have. They've already relegated him, basically. They've already taken him out of the running for the starting job in Denver.
Yeah, but
he's got Sean Payton.
Yeah, but don't you think he's ruined at this point?
I mean, it might be, but
I know
you
have what
Sean
you're
Payton. Yeah, so how many times we'd say, and I said it too, and you know we don't really know if it's accurate, but we said it maybe to make ourselves feel better, a glimmer of hope. I mean, God, if you just get an offensive guru in here
he
for Zach.
Okay,
he's got Sean Payton.
Some guys don't have it. Yeah, fair enough.
They're already not getting reps with the ones.
But you could say the damage has been done in that case. Anyway, he's just an example we use here because he was here, but you get the point. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Fernando is in Tom's River. What's up, Fernando?
Happy to be on with you guys. So I'm curious to see what you guys think. I don't like to work in hypothetical, but how do we throw Drew Lock is the week one starter, correct?
No, that's not true.
No. Oh, because I remember in the first episode of Hard Knocks, when they signed Drew Lock, Mara said that he was the number one until Daniel Jones comes back.
No.
Well, okay.
Hey, I mean, so he could, Jones by the starting. Way, Fernando, he could be, but that's definitely not true now.
No. But Jones is back, so I don't know what you mean. Like, Jones is back.
Full go. So he's cleared for week one.
According to what I know, I mean,
I don't think he's got any restrictions, but it's August 1st. I mean, there's a ways to go. I believe he's on the path to start week one. I don't think there's nothing set in stone is what
he's
saying.
He's taking first team reps in practice. Like, there's no.
Right.
Yeah.
I've seen that. So I guess what my hypothetical is going to be, right? Okay, let's shift it then, all right? So, God, for, you know, 1-2, we got the Vikings, you got the Commanders, you got the Browns, and then week four in the first quarter of the season, we got the Cowboys. Is there any way that Dable shifts to Lock? And we know that Dable's patience with Jones is thin. You know, I'm reading his body language yesterday on the couch, and while he's in, they're talking about this trade thing, and yeah, he was on board, but we know that he's on thin ice. Do we go to Lock? You know, be it in the middle of a game, do we go to, you know, Jones comes out week one, bad interception in the red zone. You know, how quickly
there's
do
no
we
way
go
they're
to lock?
Pulling him after that. There's no way.
Yeah,
there's no
the call
way,
Fernando.
I'm not saying that I'm averse to at some point giving Drew Lock a look if, you know, Jones is wobbly and the Giants are sputtering or whatever, but it's not going to be that kind of a hook. I could promise you that. And nor should it be. That's ridiculous.
Come on, Fernando. That's a call for week five or six.
Here we go.
Not August 1st. I love it. I do love it.
No,
like,
I get it, too. I'm not chatting
forward,
down.
But come on. Daniel Jones is the starter. And by the way, the fact that you would even call and bring up Drew Lock shows you that there are issues with the belief in Daniel Jones. because nobody would be talking about the backup quarterback if it weren't for the lack of trust in what Jones can be.
Yeah,
but Drew Lock is not some stud answer. Now, could he be a capable quarterback? He's proven to be a serviceable quarterback.
Yeah, but I think the reason why that comes up, not because of like an anticipated quick hook for Jones, but more about the injuries. I think that's why Fernando brought that up.
No, he brought it up saying, based on poor performance, what if Jones makes a bad decision?
But he started his point by saying he's not going to be ready, and he's. Right. I think it's born out of that.
Right.
Like, there's no way they're going to banish Daniel Jones after a bad game or two, if he's healthy. There's no way.
Yeah, and to your point, nor should they.
I agree.
Because it'd be different if they drafted Drake May.
Correct.
And then they were ready to transition.
Now, that's a conversation that's fun.
Correct.
Like, we've had that before in this city. Right. No, this is not that.
Jeff is in Hamilton, New Jersey. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, Jeff. What's on your mind?
So, I got two quick points. Listen to you guys talk, and obviously I'm 50 years old and watch a lot of football. The quarterback position, we all agree, is the most important position on the field. It's also the hardest to find. I mean, if you look at the last 20-something Super Bowls and look how few quarterbacks have actually won it, there's few names that have done this, and there's a lot of quarterbacks in the league that have not done much. I don't think Jones is terrible, but I also, my other point is, I don't think this last year's quarterback class was regarded as anything special. And like, I agree with BT, like, you're going to throw it all out there for a guy like Drake May. You don't know what you're getting, and you could be starting over. This guy could be Daniel Jones down the road, getting hurt, not being a great player. I mean, I just don't see how you could just sit here and anoint any of these guys that are coming out of college, because how rarely do these guys succeed? It is a position where most people.
So what do you do
fail
then?
So
what do you do?
What I would do is I run with Jones this year. Obviously he's on a contract.
What? And then what? I mean, it's year six. I'm not disagreeing with you, Jeff, but I'm just asking you genuinely. Then what would be your plan? Because if you don't believe, go ahead. I'll let you finish, guys.
If you think the Giants are close, if you think they have the pieces, then you go out and you sign like a big name, or you make a trade for somebody that maybe is on a team that's, you know, wore out his welcome. I'm not saying a guy like Dak Prescott, but somebody like that, that's a veteran that, like the Jets just did with Rodgers. If you think you have the pieces there, then you get a veteran.
Yeah, but hold on a second, Jeff. You can't bank on that. I mean, the Rodgers stuff was born out of acrimony in Green Bay. I don't think Dak is going to shake loose. And even if he does, and I like Dak, I wouldn't give him massive money to come here. He's not quite that guy. I don't think Jerry's going to let him leave. He's not shaking loose. Like, there's a reason why these veteran quarterbacks never shake loose, because if you're good, you're not going anywhere.
And there's also a reason why, and thank you for the call, there's also a reason why teams trade their future to get a quarterback. They're at a premium. It's also why people knocked the Atlanta Falcons for taking Penix there. It was a forward-thinking move. Okay, so now where teams are looking for one quarterback, Atlanta, in theory, has two.
Mm-hmm.
They paid a boatload for Kirk Cousins, and they drafted Michael Penix, who could have been used on another team. And who knows how it's going to work out, but the ideal plan, you win now with Cousins, you transition to Penix in 2 or 3 years. Like, because they're planning on, much like the Giants, they're planning on not picking that high again moving forward. But that's how you get a franchise quarterback in the draft. Now, it doesn't have to be the first round. It doesn't have to be the top of the first round. But that's how you get a quarterback. They're at a premium. That's why they go 1, 2, and 3. And then teams stretch or reach take one at 10 or 9.
Then teams start getting nervous, and then you overpay, and that's when you make a blunder that sets you back for 7, 8, 9, 10 years.
But it might be worth it. Like,
it could be worth it.
Minnesota, whatever, they trade up a little bit. It's not okay, they draft McCarthy, so that's a pick. It's worth it for them in that spot to take a chance on finding a potential franchise quarterback versus taking whatever they think they could have gotten to help them out. Like, you just don't know. Each thing is different. But I know this. Quarterbacks are the most premium item in the NFL.
Well, you got to think, yeah, for sure. And you got to look at it this way, too. So, again, I don't know that this is going to go this way. Nobody knows. Yeah. But I'm looking at teams, like, I'm looking at the win totals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And projected win totals for this season coming up. So, the Patriots are thought to be the worst team in football. So, if the Patriots just say that they finish with the worst record, they already drafted their quarterback. They've got their quarterback.
Right.
So, even if the Giants aren't, like, 1, 2, or 3,
there's always going to be some teams that don't.
There's going to be access because, Carolina. Now, I don't know if they're committed to Stroud forever. It's, you didn't get off to a good start.
The Young, you're talking about.
Who did I say?
Young, Stroud.
I'm sorry. Who did I say?
Stroud, you said.
Yeah, but I said.
What, you talking about Carolina?
Carolina.
Young.
I'm sorry, that's right. Yeah, Young. So I he's not off to a good start, right?
Right. No, he was awful last year.
Exactly.
Right. Stroud was great. Young.
Stroud was great. Young was horrendous. Right. And Carolina's got a wacky owner, so who knows what they do. But if he bounces back and has a decent season, even if Carolina's not very good, they're not taking a quarterback. Denver's going to need a quarterback. Tennessee's going to need a quarterback. The Giants are going to need a quarterback. The Commanders don't need one. The Vikings just drafted one. So this is all part of being a forward-thinking organization. I can't tell you for sure that the Giants did the right thing. That's the basis of the conversation.
Well, nobody does.
For sure. I can tell you I think that Nabers is going to be a star. I can tell you that I think that they did the prudent thing by not being reckless and giving up whatever the hell the Patriots wanted for Drake May. But I don't know how those things will play out. May's going to be great or not. Nabers great or not. We'll find out. But I do strongly believe, if not know this, that the Giants at least have a blueprint for the 2025 quarterback market in terms of a draft. Like, they're not blind. So part of their decision, I think, was fueled by what they think they could do next season as well.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Manning calling signal, takes the snap, looks left, talks about it, first is wide open, touchdown Giants! In the left corner of the end zone!
Touchdown!
With 35 seconds to go, the Giants regain the lead!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Better these days, this tune sounds.
Yankees, not the Yankees anymore. All right, Jersey Mike's Yankees box office blitz. We've got a pair of field level tickets. See the Bronx Bombers against Texas at Yankee Stadium on Friday, August 9th. Right now, be going number 13 at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326 for your chance to win. It's all from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees box office blitz. And The Fan. Listen again tomorrow for another chance to win.
All right, Sal. So I got a little something for you. Mix it up. Throw a little baseball. We got to get to the Pete Rose documentary in a little bit, which you and I both watched all four parts. I know you wanted to throw a few things out there.
Yes.
Before we do that. So, I mean, not to ruin the party for anybody here, but I don't want to let the facts get in the way of a good story. But if the season ended today, your Mets are not a playoff team.
Really?
Yeah, they're a half game out.
Is that true? They fell out of it last year?
They were half a game out of the wild card.
Okay.
Still a fairly robust 57-51, third in the NL East. I believe you guys are a game and a half behind Atlanta. Obviously, Philly's been scuffled a bit, and you could have crawled to, I think, within seven.
Oh, Atlanta won yesterday. I did see that, but Philadelphia lost. Yeah, the Mets missed. Obviously, they got swept by the Yanks. Mets missed an opportunity to get even closer within the division. It could have been
seven games back. I know. That's where I was going. But these next 10 games here, the Mets' 10-game road trip coming up. I like to do this when I think I see something that represents like a really vital swath of games here. 10-game roadie. The Angels, you got that makeup with the Cards. Then you've got three against the Rockies. And then you go to Seattle, who was obviously a pretty tough team. 10 games, what is the bare minimum? And what are you really, truly hoping for?
I mean, I think the bare minimum is 5-5. And you'd take anything above that. I mean, look, I think the Padres are about to take off. I still don't trust Atlanta. I know they made some moves. You know, they won a couple here in a row. Obviously salvaged the split against the Mets. I still don't trust Atlanta. They've been playing poorly for a while. Could they turn around? Of course. Could they still be a playoff team? I mean, sure. I mean, they're in the top spot right now, but I think the Padres are the team that's going to end up with the top wild card spot based off of the trade deadline moves. Cardinals, I would expect to be. Yeah, Pirates and Cardinals made some moves to upgrade their ball clubs. You want to be a playoff team, BT. 5-5 may not get it done. It's not the toughest of road trips. What is, again, Angels?
Three with the Angels. I guess it's the one makeup with the Cardinals.
Right. That's going to be a big game.
Three at the Rockies.
And then,
there you go.
And then Seattle.
Yeah, three at Seattle. That's going to be a little tricky.
So let's just do the math real quick. Two out of three against the Angels.
Okay.
Beat the Cardinals.
All right, three out of four. Two out of three Rocks.
Yeah.
Five out of seven.
And then.
And one out of three?
Yes.
Okay. So that would be 6-4.
You take that.
Yeah.
That's
definitely.
That's
I would agree with that.
Now, again, maybe they sweep the Rockies and lose an extra game in there somewhere along the way. But that's basically. So I think 6-4 should be minimum. I amend the 5-5.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, you'd say you got to be 500 on the road, not the Mets. If they want to be a wild card team here, a legit wild card team and continue to put pressure on the Phillies. Who knows?
Yeah.
Phillies look terrible. I mean, I know it was the Yankees, but they've been bad before that.
Yeah, they've been scuffling for a little bit. Since London, they haven't played as well.
Since the Mets, and the Mets have started their run. 6-4 for the Mets on that 10-game road trip.
Boy, it's getting a little crowded in those standings.
Too crowded. I mean, but it just shows you everybody's in it.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh. Pirates are two games behind you. I'm just focusing on the Mets.
Yeah.
The Cardinals are one game behind you.
Mm-hmm.
The Pirates are two. And the Giants are four.
And Giants, I would say.
Yeah, and I hear you. But,
not that they're dead, but you got to be over 500.
Yeah.
So I'll draw the line at the Pirates. Right now you got Braves, Padres, Diamondbacks, Mets, Cardinals, Pirates. 6 teams, 3 spots.
Mm.
But if the Mets continue. Like,
the Braves are going to be a playoff team. The Padres are going to. I think it'd come. Yes, I do. No question. I think that the Padres are going to be a playoff team.
Arizona.
I think it comes down to it's going to be the Mets.
Look at what the Padres have done. They've been the hottest team in baseball.
I know. The Mets, the Diamondbacks, or the Cardinals. That's what it comes down to for me.
See, the Padres, to me, are exactly what I wanted the Mets to be.
Mm.
A team that was peaking at the right time, and you want to say it's a little too early, just entering August now. All right, maybe, but getting it turned around, starting to play their best right ahead of the deadline, load up at the deadline, which they did, they're all in. I think the Padres end up with... Can they win the division still, the Padres? Too far
I didn't back? Check it that. I just had the wild card stuff.
Because I think the Padres are starting their move now. They're only 4.5 back at the division.
Wow.
I would not be shocked if they call it the Dodgers.
Wow.
The Dodgers have lost 2 straight, 5-5 over their last 10.
Wow.
That's how high the... Now, obviously, if the Padres catch the Dodgers are going to be a wild card spot, so that really doesn't help the Mets.
No.
But I don't think the Mets are going to get the top wild card spot. I think the Padres are getting that. And I'm with you. I could see the Padres, although I still don't believe in Atlanta being, I still see them coming down a little bit. I think the Mets could finish ahead of Atlanta. I still believe
I think the Mets get the third or they get nothing.
I could see why you'd say that. And then do you think that they will?
No.
Who do you think gets them? Arizona or St. Louis?
Diamondbacks.
And what do you think happens? The Mets just...
I think the Mets finish a couple of games over 500 and fall short.
Right, so they just maintain like a level of 500.
Yeah, I don't think the Mets collapse. No. I don't think that they don't get it because they implode. I just think that they fall, 2-3 wins short-ish. I just don't think they get there.
And honestly, like I wouldn't even care at this point.
What?
Because they clearly don't care. They didn't make the moves to go for it.
Here we go.
No, but they didn't.
Here we go.
So
no one cares. Well, you don't care. They don't care.
Let's talk about the Mets for the next two months. If they don't.
Talk all Yanks.
And fine with me. Man, hey, the Yankees are a real team. They're trying to win a World Series.
Yankees didn't go all in either.
They didn't. But if I had a grade, and I did this on SNY the other night after the trades, I'd be curious to get your grades.
Okay.
Trade deadline.
I didn't see this segment. I do watch the show once in a while.
What would you give a grade for the trade deadline for the Yankees?
I would give the Yankees a B.
Yeah, that's exactly what I gave them.
Okay.
That's fair, right?
Yeah.
Right, but I want an A+. Or an A. Okay, right, so we got a B. So that's it. It's not like, I said the Yankees didn't go all in. Well, I wanted them to be an A or an A+, but we got a B. What would you grade the Mets?
I like what they did more than you.
Mm-hmm.
C+ or a B-.
Fair enough. I gave them a C. So that they didn't do enough with the Yankees.
Uh-huh.
They did more. You think they did more than I did. I gave them a C.
I like what they did.
I mean, I thought about it. Okay, but like it's satisfactory.
Yeah.
C+, B-, would have been a good grade. I can't give them anywhere in the B's. C+, maybe. I'm not giving them a B or a B-. And then I wanted an A. So again, that's fine.
What would have pushed it to an A?
I think Snell for either team. Or Yankees would have gotten Flaherty, and they would have gotten an A.
Yeah.
Now, the results may vary. It doesn't mean that the Yankees still can't have the result of an A or an A+.
Mm-hmm.
But at the deadline, if I'm grading it, I think both teams left a little on the table.
Did you enjoy talking to Cashman yesterday?
I did. I thought it was fun. I wish that there weren't the time restrictions that we had.
What do you mean? We had it for 30 minutes.
I know, but it was supposed to be, till 5 and whatever. But, yeah, I thought it was, to me.
It was supposed to be at 5 and we ignored it.
5:15. I thought it was fun.
I'll do
it again sometime.
Yeah,
you can't do all that in one. We're new as a show, obviously been on for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And middays, you're not going to get the same opportunities that you would in afternoon or morning maybe, but you can't do that interview, you know, fly in, have it once for even if it's 25 minutes or a half hour.
And hit everything.
Yeah, and hit everything and never do it again. Like, it's got to be...
That's a good point, because if we had had... Say, and I've interviewed Brian, it's been a while, but back in the day, right? A couple times. And when you kind of create a thread of conversation with somebody... Yeah. You don't have to reset everything that you've already done. Yeah.
There's stuff you got out of the way the first time, and then you can move on.
So, like, I couldn't have Cashman on yesterday. And again, I appreciate him coming on, and I think he's very transparent as much as he could be. Mm-hmm. He pushed back. You know, he has boxing gloves on a little bit, as he always does. Mm-hmm. Willing to spar. I respect that. I've criticized him a ton. I stand by everything I've said. It's never personal. I think he's missed on a lot these last couple of years. I don't think the Yankees have been all in organizationally, whether it's Hal, whether it's him, whether it's everybody. I've said that, and I mean it. But, you know, I couldn't talk to him yesterday and not at least get into a little, you know, the Gallo stuff's got to come up because it's a thread to today.
Right.
The Hicks stuff has to come up.
Right,
the Montas stuff has to come up. Like, it all kind of... It's interwoven into why are we here now wondering if you guys went all in at the deadline when you have a payroll of over $300 million? Like, why are we always fixing this team every single season when you pay hundreds of million dollars?
But if we had him on last year or theoretically 2 years ago, then some of that stuff would have already been addressed.
That's what I mean.
And you could just make it more about now.
Correct.
So there was a lot more that we would have liked to have gotten to.
I loved it. I thought he was good.
No, me too. But I'd love to have him on again in 3 months, for whatever, after the season, just to keep the thread going so it's not just, oh my God. Like, I had 10 years of stuff I wanted to get in a limited time frame. And it's the two of us, so it just makes it a little challenging there. And you're not going to get everything out of it that you may have wanted. But I thought it was fun.
How about his line about
the drug test?
Yeah.
Have you sampled?
Well, listen to the interview. I said, send it over.
Did you catch that part?
Twice I said it. Send it over, Cash.
I caught it.
I'll tell you one thing you won't find, like a lot of your championship teams had, steroids, PEDs. And by the way, I was all through baseball. That's not a low shot. I mean, everybody was cheating. Come on. No, that was funny. I laughed. Not 10 years ago, do I laugh at that? I don't know. I probably would have got more combative knowing me 10 years ago. But I do like Brian Cashman. It probably doesn't sound it.
Yeah, but we got to do our jobs too. So
100%. I'm not apologizing for anything. Yeah. I respect, because think about this. How many times, now Leon Rose has done a wonderful job building up these Knicks, right? But how many times have the Knicks been atrocious and nobody had the guts from their organization to come on any show and talk about the plight of the team?
Right.
I mean, honestly. You know, so to me, when you do that, you know, like a big boy, as he did, massive respect. And hopefully we get him back on again.
Yeah, I feel like Cashman's always been great with the media anyway, and he's always transparent. So it was nice to have him on our show for a change. If you missed it, check it out on the free Odyssey app or just look at the BT and Sal podcast version of the show. All that stuff was on the afternoon show yesterday, so you have to check that out if you go back on the free Odyssey app during the afternoon time slot.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. We'll get back to the calls here. I do want to get to that Pete Rose stuff coming up in just a little bit, BT, but let's get back to the phones. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. It's been a football day. And in case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. As always, been a lot of Giants. We did work in some Jets. I have another note that I do want to get to because we didn't really get into it. The Rodgers playing in the preseason. I know you said you wouldn't want to do that. Or you would want to see him play for a little bit. But we'll get more into that in a little bit as well. So we continue with the Jets. But I do have one more note on the Jets as well. Right now, back to the phones. Tom is in Ronkonkoma. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, how's it going, guys? How you doing today?
Good. How are you, Tom?
Hey, Bob.
I'm doing all right. Yeah, so I hate to say it, but I have to piggyback off the first caller, that guy that was talking about Drew Lock. You know, I know it's early, and I hate to say it, but you know what it is, Sal? I hate to say this, but Daniel Jones is not that very good. He's average at best. He's not the worst, but he's not the best.
Look at the play around last year in the league. It was not that great. It was terrible.
Agreed.
Overall.
Agreed. So, Tom, then help me out. Because, like I said before, I'm honestly thinking this out in real time. I'm not trying to just rip on Daniel Jones just to rip him or to be sensational. I legitimately want the Jets and Giants both to have good football teams. And in my mind, watching Daniel Jones, it's infuriating over the last 5 years because there's been inconsistencies. So are we just supposed to then accept, okay, well, he's mediocre, he's not the worst, he's not the best, and let's just roll the dice and see what happens? Like, that's where we're at as sports fans? That's acceptable?
No, I think what's going to happen is I think he's going to go out there, and he's just, I think he's too injury prone. I think he's going to go out there, and he's going to get hurt again after maybe two or 3 weeks. Then we're going to see Drew Lock, because that's the only other guy we have to go to besides Tommy DeVito.
Right.
You know, obviously, Drew Lock has more experience than Tommy DeVito.
But yeah, but
so
DeVito,
they're going to pop him in.
But DeVito's a lot more fun, isn't he?
He is. He is. I listen, I'd rather see him than Drew Lock, to be honest with you. I know you're going to say I'm crazy. But
no, I'm not going to say you're crazy, but it's going to be Drew Lock. Okay, so your point is Jones going to get hurt, Drew Lock's going to be the quarterback, then what?
Then after that, we'll see how he does. If he's decent, like you said, I don't know what we do. Honestly, I thought that even the second caller kind of hit the nail on the head, where if you don't know where to go, you might have to look at, I hate to say it, but you might have to look at Dak Prescott, because he's actually better than most of the other quarterbacks in the league.
Well, you're exactly right, Tom, and thank you for the call. And I think Dak is a great example, BT. But at least with him, you've seen improvements. Now, the big knock on Dak Prescott is, can he get it done in a big spot in the postseason, which he has failed to do. However, I remember early on in his career, I remember feeling like, he's not the guy. Dak's not going to be the guy that's going to get them over the top. Now, he has improved his play, throwing for a bunch of touchdowns, becoming one of the better quarterbacks consistently in the league. However, he still hasn't gotten over the hump in the postseason, but does that mean that the Cowboys should kick him aside? Because then, to their point, like, well, where do you go for a quarterback? How are they finding somebody as good as Dak? So is this a philosophical thing? Is it a 2024 NFL thing? Like, a lot of us say Dak isn't good enough, but he's one of the best that's there. And Daniel Jones, a lot of us say, well, Daniel Jones is good enough, and fans will call up and say, yeah, but he's still better than a lot of others. Like, he's still, you know, top half, whatever, quarterback in the league. I don't know.
The problem with all this stuff is that we want to bottom line it, and there's a lot of nuance. And it's a little tricky and boring and everything in between to explain constantly nuance on the air, which is why you kind of just cherry pick and just get to the meat of the story. Like, yo, this guy isn't it. This guy is it. Where you overlook. I don't mean like with our guys. Like, we did it with Zach. We do it with Daniel to an extent.
Dak Prescott's a great example, though.
Yeah, no, he certainly is, but... Like, when let me take Zach, and then I'll bridge to Dak here. Like, with Zach, we were trying to evaluate, is it his decision-making? Is he not seeing things? Is it really, truly the offensive line or an absence of vertical weapons and coaching and schemes that are antiquated, predictable, and probably a little bit of everything? But we got into the micro minutia stuff because it's our team, just like we do with Jones and early with Eli, et cetera, and the next quarterback that the Giants take, and whoever plays after Rodgers. We don't do it quite as much with guys in other cities because we don't care as much.
Right.
It's not our team.
The surface level
stuff. It's more of a
surface
thing.
With the NFL specifically, like, we do pay more attention to out of town than the other sports.
100%, but again, like, at least for, and I don't mean like Zach Martin, Tyron Smith when he was there. But, I mean, do I have incredible familiarity with Joe Burrow's offensive line? No. I mean, not Randall, two guys maybe.
Right.
I mean, you know what I mean? So, no, I don't. So, I just think that...
No, but you also know that the Bengals' offensive line was banged up the year they went to the Super Bowl, so they still were able to overcome that.
I don't mean the storylines. Right. I certainly know that. Yeah, but I mean, like, the specific names and PFF grades and who should they really draft. And, no, I don't. To me, I just look at it this way. If you give quarterback X, you know, a decent O-line, this is how I answer the question, a decent O-line, competent coaching, and comparable weapons, can that guy go into an elite team at his conference and win a road playoff game? Like, that's my measurement.
Well, Jones already did that. Yeah.
No, I mean, but I mean like the conference champion. I don't mean wild card.
I mean, but still, a road playoff game is a road playoff game.
Yeah, true, but no, for me, but my equation is more detailed.
Okay.
Like, because a lot of guys can go, and I'm not trying to minimize what Daniel Jones did, beating the Vikings, whose defense was awful.
Well,
you know, is different than going into San Francisco and beating the Niners.
Well, Mark Sanchez won a few playoff games on the road.
I understand that.
Obviously not the playoff game on the road.
That's a good point. That's a great point. This goes into the nuance that we often ignore. Think about some of those wins. Like, what happened? Well, the Chargers, I'll just cherry pick. First of all, the Chargers missed field goals.
Right.
And their head coach, like he always does, malfunctioned late. Schottenheimer.
Right.
So, like, those are things that you kind of forget, but were really instrumental in the Jets winning. So, the Bengals win that first game. Remember that? That was when Laviernes Coles, who was with Cincinnati, fumbled as they were actually going into the Jets' territory and could have scored a touchdown. And the Bengals weren't really that good. So, yeah, I
Colts, know, Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, no, the Patriots win was great. The Colts, they lost that game.
I mean, but
they lost the game. Talking about the Colts in the AFC Championship game? Now, they did beat the Colts at home with Corbett 41-0.
No, wait.
They lost the Colts game to go to the championship
game. They beat the Colts in the regular season.
That was with Painter.
I remember a game with Braylon Edwards down the sideline.
They lost that game. No, they lost that game.
Okay.
That was the game where it was a beautiful pump fake and Braylon Edwards on the left side, if you remember.
I get the years mixed up.
You know, so
wait, they beat New England to get to who?
That was with Sean Ellis.
That was with Pittsburgh?
Bartnell's guys.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then the year before was they beat San Diego to get to Indianapolis.
And we're kind of mixing both here. But the Colts game, the first playoff game was Cincinnati.
Right.
That was the first game that they won in Cincinnati. It was a day game. If I remember, Doug Bryan had Jay Feely had a punt that game as well. Because I think the punter got hurt. Either way, the Colts game indoors was when, and they took the lead. And then I think the Colts scored before half.
Didn't they win
Braylon that game? Edwards had a massive 80-yard touchdown play.
Yeah, and maybe that wasn't postseason.
They beat the Colts to get into the playoffs when they sat Peyton Manning in the regular
maybe
season.
Maybe that was the game
and
that
Curtis
I'm thinking.
Painter played.
Okay, because I remember the championship game with the Colts that they lost. That was the year
that was
the Chargers.
AFC championship game.
Right. They beat the Chargers to get to that game, and they lost that game. That one I remember. This is a different Colts game that I'm talking
about.
That
was the regular season game. That was Rex's first year when I think they had 9 wins and they backdoored.
Either way, point is that winning a road playoff game is not easy, but we've seen some quarterbacks who are not great quarterbacks accomplish that feat
multiple times. In the wild card not too much when it's going in and a team had a bye, and that team who's hosting has 13 wins, and you're playing Mahomes or you're playing Titan, you generally don't win that game unless you're that kind of quarterback.
Let me ask you something. I don't even care about the aspect of, it's sensationalized in sports talk radio. Oh, it's got to be, can Dak do it or not? Like, we know Dak is a good quarterback. Can he win a Super Bowl? He's very good. It's a fair question to say, can he win a Super Bowl? Are we doing it wrong then? Not like you and I as sports talk show hosts, but as fans. Because then why would we be focusing on Daniel Jones, which to me, that is the key to this Giants season, instead of then just saying, well, maybe they have a good team, and if Jones plays to the best of his abilities and Dable gets the most out of him, hey, who's to say what the Giants could do this year? But instead we look at it, and the odds makers say the same thing, and say, yeah, well, they upgraded their offensive line. Yeah, they brought in Malik Nabers, who could be the best player in the draft and impactful. They made a trade for one of the best pass rushers in the game in Brian Burns.
Yep.
They've upgraded defensively a little bit. They should be better. Why is their win total 6.5?
I'm going to tell you why. Well, I don't know why I don't know specifically why it's 6.5, but I do know why people gravitate to the Jones stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's laziness. It's easy to look at a quarterback and decipher quickly, he's got it or he doesn't, versus incorporating free agent depth pieces on the old line and who's your slot receiver and who's your nickel corner, which, by the way, matters. Like, it's just that it's a more direct route. Right. I think it's laziness. And I think it's a lack of knowledge.
But don't you think that that's the... Like, we've seen 5 years of Daniel Jones, so it can't just be laziness and lack of knowledge.
Some of the years have been pretty good.
Okay, but then why aren't they expected to do more? The odds makers aren't lazy. They're not just throwing that out there because it's a storyline.
Yeah.
So then why did they, who generally, again, not that that's the be-all, end-all, but generally it gives you a good barometer on where a team should be
I think part of it is that, at least on paper, the Giants will be probably big dogs in, four... minimally four of their six division games.
Right. And by the way, that
like if it was a weak division, right. I think we'd be sitting here saying, why can't the Giants mess around and maybe win 10 games and win it?
Well, it doesn't mean that they can't just because the odds makers say that they can't. It also doesn't mean that they can't beat the Eagles or the Cowboys.
I agree.
Anything's possible.
We've seen
crazier things happen in football.
Sure.
So then maybe in sports, instead of criticizing all the time like we do and holding teams to the highest of standards, we just sit back and say, hey, you know what? If everything goes well, you know, nobody thought the Mets were going to be competent this year.
That's boring. It's more fun to criticize.
But you also have to say what you believe, right?
Oh, yeah. No, we always do.
Right.
I think the Giants will be competitive this year. I don't think they'll be a playoff team.
Yeah, the whole thing is weird to me. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. We'll come back, have more of your calls. I do want to get to that Pete Rose stuff on the other side and that Jets note as well. 888-808-1019 on the fan. BT and Sal podcast version of the show. All that stuff was on the afternoon show yesterday, so you have to check that out if you go back on the free Odyssey app during the afternoon time slot.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
BT and Sal back on the fan. We'll get back to the calls here. I do want to get to that Pete Rose stuff coming up in just a little bit, BT, but let's get back to the phones. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. It's been a football day. And in case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. As always, been a lot of Giants. We did work in some Jets. I have another note that I do want to get to because we didn't really get into it. The Rodgers playing in the preseason. I know you said you wouldn't want to do that. Or you would want to see him play for a little bit. But we'll get more into that in a little bit as well. So we continue with the Jets. But I do have one more note on the Jets as well. Right now, back to the phones. Tom is in Ronkonkoma. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, how's it going, guys? How you doing today?
Good. How are you, Tom?
Hey, Bob.
I'm doing all right. Yeah, so I hate to say it, but I have to piggyback off the first caller, that guy that was talking about Drew Lock. You know, I know it's early, and I hate to say it, but you know what it is, Sal? I hate to say this, but Daniel Jones is not that very good. He's average at best. He's not the worst, but he's not the best. Look at the play around last year in the league. It was not that great. It was terrible.
Agreed.
Overall.
Agreed. So, Tom, then help me out. Because like I said before, I'm honestly thinking this out in real time. I'm not trying to just rip on Daniel Jones just to rip him or to be sensational. I legitimately want the Jets and Giants both to have good football teams. And in my mind, watching Daniel Jones, it's infuriating over the last 5 years because there's been inconsistencies. So are we just supposed to then accept, okay, well, he's mediocre, he's not the worst, he's not the best, and let's just roll the dice and see what happens? Like, that's where we're at as sports fans? That's acceptable?
No, I think what's going to happen is I think he's going to go out there, and he's just, I think he's too injury-prone. I think he's going to go out there, and he's going to get hurt again after maybe two or 3 weeks. Then we're going to see Drew Lock, because that's the only other guy we have to go to besides Tommy DeVito.
Right.
You know, obviously, Drew Lock has more experience than Tommy DeVito.
But yeah, but
so
DeVito,
they're going to pop him in.
But DeVito's a lot more fun, isn't he?
He is. He is. I listen, I'd rather see him than Drew Lock, to be honest with you. I know you're going to say I'm crazy. But
no, I'm not going to say you're crazy, but it's going to be Drew Lock. Okay, so your point is Jones going to get hurt. Drew Lock's going to be the quarterback. Then what?
Then after that, we'll see how he does. If he's decent, like you said, I don't know what we do. Honestly, I thought that even the second caller kind of hit the nail on the head, where if you don't know where to go, you might have to look at, I hate to say it, but you might have to look at Dak Prescott, because he's actually better than most of the other quarterbacks in the league.
Well, you're exactly right, Tom, and thank you for the call. And I think Dak is a great example, BT. But at least with him, you've seen improvements. Now, the big knock on Dak Prescott is, can he get it done in a big spot in the postseason, which he has failed to do. However, I remember early on in his career, I remember feeling like, he's not the guy. Dak's not going to be the guy that's going to get them over the top. Now, he has improved his play, throwing for a bunch of touchdowns, becoming one of the better quarterbacks consistently in the league. However, he still hasn't gotten over the hump in the postseason, but does that mean that the Cowboys should kick him aside? Because then, to their point, like, well, where did he go for a quarterback? How are they finding somebody as good as Dak? So is this a philosophical thing? Is it a 2024 NFL thing? Like, a lot of us say Dak isn't good enough, but he's one of the best that's there. And Daniel Jones, a lot of us say, well, Daniel Jones is good enough, and fans will call up and say, yeah, but he's still better than a lot of others. Like, he's still, you know, a top half, whatever, quarterback in the league. I don't know.
The problem with all this stuff is that we want to bottom line it, and there's a lot of nuance. And it's a little tricky and boring and everything in between to explain constantly nuance on the air, which is why you kind of just cherry pick and just get to the meat of the story. Like, yo, this guy isn't it. This guy is it. Where you overlook. I don't mean like with our guys. Like we did it with Zach. We do it with Daniel to an extent.
Dak Prescott's a great example, though.
Yeah, no, he certainly is. But like when let me take Zach and then I'll bridge to Dak here. Like with Zach, we were trying to evaluate, is it his decision-making? Is he not seeing things? Is it really truly the offensive line or an absence of vertical weapons and coaching and schemes that are antiquated, predictable, and probably a little bit of everything? But we got into the micro minutia stuff because it's our team, just like we do with Jones and early with Eli, et cetera, and the next quarterback that the Giants take, right, and whoever plays after Rodgers. We don't do it quite as much with guys in other cities, because we don't care as much.
Right.
It's not our team.
The surface level stuff.
It's more of a surface thing.
With the NFL specifically, like, we do pay more attention to out of town than the other sports.
100%. But again, like, at least for, and I don't mean like Zach Martin, Tyron Smith when he was there. But I mean, do I have incredible familiarity with Joe Burrow's offensive line? No. I mean, not Randall, two guys maybe.
Right.
I mean, you know what I mean? So, no, I don't. So, I just think that...
No, but you also know that the Bengals' offensive line was banged up the year they went to the Super Bowl, so they still were able to overcome that.
I don't mean the storylines. Right. I certainly know that, but I mean like the specific names and PFF grades and who should they really draft. And no, I don't. To me, I just look at it this way. If you give quarterback X, you know, a decent O-line... This is how I answer the question. A decent O-line, competent coaching, and comparable weapons... Can that guy go into an elite team at his conference and win a road playoff game? Like, that's my measurement.
Well, Jones already did that. Yeah.
No, I mean, but I mean like the conference champion. I don't mean wild card.
I mean, but still, a road playoff game is a road playoff game.
Yeah, true, but no, for me, but my equation is more detailed.
Okay.
Like, because a lot of guys can go, and I'm not trying to minimize what Daniel Jones did, beating the Vikings, whose defense was awful.
Well,
you know, is different than going into San Francisco and beating the Niners.
Well, Mark Sanchez won a few playoff games on the road.
I understand that.
Obviously not the playoff game
on
the
road. That's a good point. That's a great point. This goes into the nuance that we often ignore. Think about some of those wins. Like, what happened? Well, the Chargers, I'll just cherry pick. First of all, the Chargers missed field goals.
Right.
And their head coach, like he always does, malfunctioned late.
Schottenheimer.
So, like, those are things that you kind of forget, but were really instrumental in the Jets winning. So the Bengals win that first game. Remember that? That was when Laviernes Coles, who was with Cincinnati, fumbled as they were actually going into the Jets territory and could have scored a touchdown. And the Bengals weren't really that good. So yeah, I
Colts, know, Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, no, the Patriots win was great. The Colts, they lost that game.
I mean, but
they lost the game. Talking about the Colts in the AFC Championship game? Now, they did beat the Colts at home with Corbett 41-0.
No, wait.
They lost the Colts game to go to the championship
game. But
they
beat them,
the Colts in the regular season. That was with Painter.
Why do I remember a game with Braylon Edwards down the sideline?
They lost that game. No, they lost that game.
Okay.
That was the game where it was a beautiful pump fake and Braylon Edwards on the left side, if you remember.
I get the years mixed up.
You know,
so wait, beat New England. They beat New England to get to who?
That was with Sean Ellis.
Was that with Pittsburgh?
Barton, those guys.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then the year before was they beat San Diego to get to Indianapolis.
And we're kind of mixing both here. But the Colts game, the first playoff game was Cincinnati.
Right,
that was the first game that they won in Cincinnati. In Cincinnati, it was a day game. If I remember, Doug Bryan had Jay Feely had a punt that game as well, because I think the punter got hurt. Either way, the Colts game indoors was when, and they took the lead, and then I think the Colts scored like before half.
Didn't they win?
Braylon Edwards had a massive 80-yard touchdown play.
Yeah, and maybe that wasn't postseason.
They beat the Colts to get into the playoffs when they sat Peyton Manning in the regular
maybe
season.
Maybe that was the game
that
I'm
Curtis
thinking.
Painter played.
Okay, because I remember the championship game with the Colts that they lost. That was the year
that was the AFC championship game.
Right. They beat the Chargers to get to that game, and they lost that game. That one I remember. This is a different Colts game that I'm talking
about.
That
was the regular season game. That was Rex's first year, where I think they had 9 wins and they backdoored.
Either way, point playoffs. Is that winning a road playoff game is not easy, but we've seen some quarterbacks who are not great quarterbacks accomplish that feat
but
multiple
not too,
times.
In the wild card more, not too much when it's going in and a team had a bye, and that team who's hosting has 13 wins, and you're playing Mahomes or you're playing a Titan, you generally don't win that game
unless you're
that kind of quarterback.
Let me ask you something. I don't even care about the aspect of, sensationalizing sports talk radio. Oh, it's got to be, can Dak do it or not? Like, we know Dak is a good quarterback. Can he win a Super Bowl?
He's very good.
It's a fair question to say, can he win a Super Bowl? Are we doing it wrong then? Not like you and I as sports talk show hosts, but as fans. Because then why would we be focusing on Daniel Jones, which to me, that is the key to this Giants season, instead of then just saying, well, maybe they have a good team, and if Jones plays to the best of his abilities and Dable gets the most out of him, hey, who's to say what the Giants could do this year? But instead we look at it, and the odds makers say the same thing, and say, yeah, well, they upgraded their offensive line. Yeah, they brought in Malik Nabers, who could be the best player in the draft and impactful. They made a trade for one of the best pass rushers in the game in Brian Burns.
Yep.
They've upgraded defensively a little bit. They should be better. Why is their win total 6.5?
I'm going to tell you why. Well, I don't know why I don't know specifically why it's 6.5, but I do know why people gravitate to the Jones stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's laziness. It's easy to look at a quarterback and decipher quickly, he's got it or he doesn't, versus incorporating free agent depth pieces on the old line and who's your slot receiver and who's your nickel corner, which, oh yeah, by the way, matters. Like, it's just that it's a more direct route. Right. I think it's laziness. And I think it's a lack of knowledge.
But don't you think that that's we've seen 5 years of Daniel Jones, so it can't just be laziness and lack of knowledge.
Some of the years have been pretty good.
Okay, but then why aren't they expected to do more? The odds makers aren't lazy. They're not just throwing that out there because it's a storyline.
Yeah.
So then why did they, who generally, again, not that that's the be-all, end-all, but generally it gives you a good barometer on where a team should be
at. I think part of it is that, at least on paper, the Giants will be probably big dogs in, four of their six division games.
Right. And by the way,
if it was a weak division, right, I think we'd be sitting here saying, why can't the Giants mess around and maybe win 10 games and win it?
Well, it doesn't mean that they can't just because the odds makers say that they can't. Doesn't mean that they can't beat the Eagles or the Cowboys.
I agree.
Anything's possible.
We've seen
crazier things happen in football.
Sure.
So then maybe in sports, instead of criticizing all the time like we do and holding teams to the highest of standards, we just sit back and say, hey, you know what? If everything goes well, nobody thought the Mets were going to be competent this year.
That's boring. It's more fun to criticize.
But you also have to say what you believe, right?
Oh, yeah. No, we always do.
Right.
I think the Giants will be competitive this year. I don't think they'll be a playoff team.
Yeah, the whole thing is weird to me. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. We'll come back, have more of your calls. I do want to get to that Pete Rose stuff on the other side and that Jets note as well. 888-808-1019 on the fan.